Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Oh, how's everybody doing today? Sometimes I talk into my water bottle. Talking to my water bottle doesn't work.
It's good to be back home. We were away on vacation, but we're back now. We're happy to be back.
We took the kids on a fun adventure, and anytime you have kids with you, it's a fun adventure. Okay. So many people asked me, said, "Did you get a chance to relax?" I said, "No, I went on vacation with my kids." But thank you, and thank you to all the leaders who stepped up while we were away, and I heard everybody did a phenomenal job. I heard Minister Kendi had preached an amazing sermon last week, so I'm excited to get back, and I heard some pieces of her sermon, and it was great. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, I thank you, Lord, for God, how you're taking us on a journey, how you're taking us, Father, from one place to another place. And you're causing us to become more like you, more like Christ in everything that we do. So God, help us hear something today that's going to help us on our journey. Let us take something out of this and apply it to our life. Not just be hearers only, but be doers of the word. So God, thank you, Father, that this would be something that is not just a great word, but something that's practical in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, I want to talk to you today, and we've still been kind of in this series, Fast and Furious. And what we've been basically talking about with Fast and the Furious is that there is a way that the culture of our world operates, but yet there's a different way that God's culture works, and the culture of the kingdom, it's different. And so a lot of things that seem fast and seem like they apply and seem like they're awesome in this culture that we live in is not what it seems. So today I want to talk to you about you only live once. Look at somebody and just tell them you only live once. Of course, unless you're James Bond, then you live twice. I don't know what it is. There's a movie there somewhere. You live to die another day. But when you think about you only live once, I think about several things that come to mind. Maybe you're thinking about maximizing the opportunities in your life. You only live once. Let me make sure I maximize the opportunities. Or maybe I want to make sure that I make all the money that I would like to make, or that I spend all of this money. Or maybe it's something about relationships or romance or travel. You only live once, so let me do this. Or maybe you're more altruistic. I only live once, so how many people can I serve? You know, how many people can I help? You know, how can I answer a problem in the world? You know, so when we see this, we see it from different perspectives when we think about we only live once. But it's true. And even in the Bible, in Genesis 6:3, it tells us, God says, "My spirit will not remain with man forever because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120. So we know we got maximum 120. So if you're living and you're being healthy, you're going to have on the good side of that, right? If you're not taking care of yourself, probably a little bit less than that. Or, you know, there's sometimes things that we don't have control of. You know, we saw with the pandemic, there was things that we don't have control of. Sometimes there's things that shorten people's lifespans. But we know whether we have a long lifespan or we have a short lifespan, we only have one life to live. We don't have nine lives. We only live once. And so when we begin to think about the fact that we only live once, we start thinking, let me not waste my time. Let me not waste my years. Let me make sure that I spend my life the best way that I know how, right? And so those are some of the questions that I ask myself. And kind of as I was praying, I was thinking about how valuable time is. And also how that there's this illusion out there
with the world that we live in, right? I don't know if you've seen this illusion like I have, but you get out of bed in the morning and what you see on television and sometimes what you see in movies and sometimes what you see on social media feeds is an illusion of life that says if you do this and you do this and you do this, you're going to be happy, right? If you do this, and you do this, you get money, you have these type of relationships, you have this type of way, you're going to be happy. But it's actually an illusion, right? Because the world's version of life, the highest value is pleasing me, right? I want to please me. And so we hear statements all the time like, I just need to do me. I just want to do me. I'm looking out for me. At the end of the day, I need to be happy with this. And so the highest value of the culture that we live in is pleasing me. Pleasing me. And the thought process that is reinforced, our thought processes that say, you know what? You need to feel all right with doing you. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Don't let anybody judge you. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. Just do you. Do what feels good. Do what feels right. And we hear that thought process that reinforces, let me please me. And oftentimes, even as Christians, we have given our hearts to Christ, but yet we have this unredeemed portion of our thought process that says, yes, I'm following Jesus, but I still want to do what I want to do. I've given my heart to God. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer, but yet I still want to please me. And so even though we're in the church, we still have portions of thought process that haven't been redeemed. And so in some ways, we still want to please ourselves. And so we say these funny things in church like, I just feel like in my spirit that this is the... No, you're just being lazy. You know, I just feel in my spirit that I want to go over there. No, you just don't want to be obedient to the Word of God right now. Just be honest. You want to please you right now. Don't try to spiritualize it. Don't try to put something nice on the outside of it. We need to make a commitment to ourselves and to each other to stop lying. The Spirit didn't tell you that you just are lazy right now. The Spirit didn't tell you that you just want to do what you want to do. And so sometimes we spiritualize the same thing that we did out in the world. We just say it different. We just say it different. But in the end, it's that we want to please ourselves. And the world's version of making the most of this life tells you you're going to be happy if you do this, if you have money, or you have lust, or power, or pleasure. It's about relationships. But it's all, in the end, self-centered. It's self-centered. The world's version of a life that's full is a life that is centered on self. And every day it's offered to you. And me. The world tells us this version will make us happy. And if you do this at the end of your life, guess what? You're going to be satisfied with the way that you lived your life. If you just have money, you have these type of relationships, you please yourself in these ways, you're going to be happy with how you lived your life. And if you have a problem with that, we'll give you a couple of things that'll ease your conscience. Here you go. Pick out your favorite charity. Give a little money to the charity. Go pick out a community. Give back to the community. And ease that conscience. Give back until that voice quiets down inside of you. Don't change. Don't stop doing you. Just give back until the voice gets quiet. And what a trick, though, to follow an illusion your whole life and reach the end of the road and realize it was all a lie. To spend all of your years, not just your best years, but all of your years and reach the end and say, this isn't what was advertised. I feel unfulfilled. I feel unsatisfied following what everybody in the culture told me to do and would make me happy. This is what Jesus tells us in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 25, it says, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it.
But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll actually save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? So Jesus is telling us something that is the opposite. The culture is telling us, pursue all these relationships. Pursue the promotion. Pursue the finances. Pursue this image. And Jesus is saying, if you pursue all that, you're going to lose in the end. But if you're willing to sacrifice all that, then you'll gain everything. So it is a stark contrast. And this is why it's so important for us to get our thinking right. Because if we're not, if we don't pay attention, we still have this unredeemed thought process going on in our mind that says, if you chase after these things, you're gonna be happy. But he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. What does it really benefit you if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? Does God want to bless you financially? Yes. Does God want to give you a lot of great relationships? Yes. Does God want to give you those great opportunities and open doors, and God want to do those things even that you're going to be happy and excited about? Yes. But if that is your, if you pursue that, if you chase that, you're ultimately going to lose everything. But if you pursue Christ, then you'll actually end up gaining everything. You remember the story of Solomon, right? Because he didn't seek after money and riches and all that stuff, he sought after the right thing and the things of God. Guess what? God gave him what he asked for, but then he also gave him the other stuff. And so this is what Jesus is trying to show us. He says, if you lay down your life for me, you're gonna gain everything. If you seek after everything, you'll end up with nothing. But what an illusion to live an entire life and the outcome be completely different. But billions of people do it every day. Not millions, billions of people chase the illusion fast and furious, right? They chase the illusion of what the culture says will make you happy. But there is a way. Look at somebody and say, there is a way. This is the good news. There is a way to be completely satisfied and completely fulfilled. Look at somebody with a big smile on your face and say, there is a way. What is the way? What do you think the way is? What do you think the way is? Let me tell you what Jesus says. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus is not just a good idea. Jesus is not just pointing the way. He is actually the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and look, here it is. He's the life. He's the life you were looking for. He is the fulfilled, satisfied life. The blessed life, the everything life, not the empty, hollow shell of a life. He's the real deal. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. There is only one way to be satisfied in this life. It's not going to be through money. It's not going to be through relationships. It's not going to be through pleasing yourself. There's only one way to be totally and completely satisfied, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus had this really interesting conversation with the woman at the well. And this is important, and it bears mentioning because it still applies to us today. The woman at the well scenario applies to us today. Let me read it to you. John 4:13. And Jesus says, anyone who drinks of this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now, I don't know if you know, but Jesus was not talking about water. He was talking in symbols. And what he was ultimately saying to us is, look, if you drink what the world is offering, if you drink what the culture sells you, guess what? You're going to be thirsty again. If you chase money, guess what? You'll need more money. If you chase relationships, you'll need the next relationship. If this relationship didn't work, you need another relationship. Or you got another relationship and it's not enough relationships. And so you're always chasing. You'll always be thirsty and you'll end up unsatisfied. You'll keep coming back over and over again and realizing you're still empty. You drink, and yet you're not full. But Jesus said, I'm going to offer you something else. I'm offering you right now this water. And if you drink this, you will never be thirsty again. You will be completely satisfied. And not only that, it will continually, perpetually satisfy you. Is that not what he said? It's going to bubble up. It's not only going to satisfy you. It's going to bubble up. It's going to overflow and it's going to satisfy others. So if we drink what the world offers, it doesn't sustain. We drink what Jesus is and it sustains. A life that never runs dry, rich and fulfilling. There is only one pursuit in this life that is worth being the highest pursuit, and that is the pursuit of Jesus Christ. You know, I think a lot of times we miss this, and we go about life, and we give our life to Christ, and there's a difference between Jesus being Savior, the lifeguard, and Jesus being Lord, the King. And so we allow Him to be Savior, the lifeguard. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. But right now, you can't be my highest pursuit because I need to pursue my education. That has to be my highest pursuit right now. My highest pursuit, I need to get ahead right now in life, and money needs to be my highest pursuit. Jesus, you have to just be here on the side. And so the problem is he's not always king. He's not always Lord. He's not always the highest pursuit of our lives. But the only thing that satisfies, the only one that satisfies is Jesus. No money, no relationship, no power, no career is going to offer what he can do. Overwhelming, satisfying. It doesn't mean that we don't have other pursuits. But the point is that he has to be our highest pursuit. If we want to be satisfied, if we want to live a life that when we reach the end of it, we say, man, I'm satisfied with how I lived my life. You know, at funerals, they don't talk about how much money you have. They don't really even talk about your degrees, your career, what house you lived in. They talk about other stuff. They talk about how you impacted others and where you're going. Our highest pursuit, the most rewarding thing, is to pursue Christ. So if that is the truth, if that's the revelation that I have, that my pursuit, my highest pursuit, needs to be Christ. He's the only one that satisfies. What does that mean? How does that change what I'm doing on a practical level? Number one, I'm going to follow in his footstep. If he is my highest pursuit, he's my priority. And I'm following in his footsteps. But not just that he's my highest pursuit. If he really is my highest pursuit, then to follow that thought process to the end, I want to share that pursuit with others. Right? It's not going to just stay with me, but if being really satisfied, if I can live a good life, I also want to share that good life. It's going to start with the people directly around me. I'm going to, my wife and my kids, I'm going to make sure that they're experiencing that. I'm going to make sure that the people that are friends around me, that are family around me, the co-workers around me, it's not just enough for me to have an experience with Jesus, but I also need to share that experience with others. If I possess the ability to not only spend my life well, but also to help others to do the same, what am I waiting
for. There are people all around us. We're surrounded by people every day that are looking for how to fill up that void. They've been drinking, they've been drinking, they've been drinking, they've been drinking, and they're still coming up thirsty. They've been seeking everything the culture has told them to seek, and they still feel empty. They still feel like something is missing. They can't put their finger on it. Guess what? We have it. If you have Jesus in your life and he's your highest pursuit, guess what? You have it. That thing that satisfies, that thing that everybody around you is looking for, you've got it. And so that comes back to our responsibility as Christians. What's our responsibility? To make him our highest pursuit and to share that pursuit with others. To make him the highest pursuit and to share that pursuit with others. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. And he says it right here in Philippians 2:17. He says, "But I rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy." What joy is Paul talking about? He's talking about the joy of pouring his life out. The reversal that Jesus was just talking about. He was saying, if you give up your life for my sake, you're going to gain everything. Paul is saying, I want you to experience that joy of laying it down for Christ and discovering everything. Not what everybody else is doing, which is chasing the money, chasing the relationships, chasing those career opportunities as first and foremost, and then in the end, losing. Paul says, I want you to share in that joy. What happened to Paul was this. He had religion, and he looked the part, he talked the part, he sounded religious, he was very zealous about things, but yet he was empty. He did not have a relationship with Jesus. He had a relationship with religion. Listen. And he was doing everything he thought he was supposed to do until he was traveling one day. He's on the road, he's on a road trip. On the road to Damascus, and Jesus knocks him off of his high horse. And he has an experience with Jesus, and he begins to have a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus becomes his highest pursuit. Paul wants us to have that experience and that pursuit, the pursuit of Christ. And that pursuit of Christ led Paul to share his experience with others. Not just for Paul to live well, but for Paul to share that experience. Ladies and gentlemen, sons and daughters of God, believers, the point is this. If we realize we only have one life to live, we only have a certain amount of years to walk this earth, we begin to ask ourselves the question, how can I best make Christ my top pursuit, my highest ambition? And how can I share that experience, that ambition, that love with others? Because I don't want this just to be here. Because then I'm cycling back around to the way the culture does. I'm not just having Jesus to please me. I'm having Jesus so I can share that experience with others. Would you bow your heads with me? I really believe that God is doing something in our hearts and in this time where he's bringing us into a position with him to be effective like never before. He wants you to be effective in his kingdom. He wants you to be effective in your purpose. He wants your life to be full and rich. And the only way that happens is to make him your highest pursuit, your highest priority. Maybe his heads are bowed. You're saying, you know, Pastor, there's been a couple of other things, maybe one, maybe two things that I kind of have been pursuing more than I've been pursuing Jesus. I don't know. Life happened. The Holy Spirit is here to help you get back on track and to once again make him your highest priority. Make him your highest priority. If that's you, just as heads bowed, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. I know I'm, amen. I know I'm talking, amen. I know I'm talking to a couple of people today because this isn't just something I want to talk about. This is something that God was talking to me about this week, that God wants us to be his highest priority. If that's you, just repeat this prayer with me. Jesus, help me align my life to you. Help me live like you. Help me follow your footsteps. I don't want you to just save me. I want you to help me live an overcoming life like you did. Make my life rich and satisfied. I'm sorry for the moments I made other things the priority. But Jesus, I make you the priority today. Help me stay committed to this. Give me the strength to be committed to this. And let me not only experience you, let me share you with others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the praise today. I know that God is doing some awesome things, and I'm so excited about what I see happening in our Hope community. I want to encourage you, if you have not taken the foundation class, you can take it. You can go to the app. You can sign up, and it's one of the greatest things. If you're just coming into the Hope community, it'll give you an understanding of what we do here, what we believe here, and give you some of the tools to be successful in everything that we do. God has called us to be a community, not a building, a community of people, a family. And when I see what God is doing among his family and among his community, I'm so excited. And I want to encourage you today that no matter if you are on the mountaintop today or you're in the valley, if you've got Jesus with you, you are undefeated. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.